Good morning to you all, wherever you may be in the big, wide, wonderful world out there. I'm honoured today to represent the people in my age bracket, the demographic of age that I'm in, and share some scriptures, some personal experiences, and some lessons learnt. I always say that the longer we live, the longer we've got to learn the lessons or correct our problems, but it also gives us a greater opportunity to reflect on how good our God is. Whatever your age, I have news for you. Each year you are progressing towards the group referred to as older or seniors. Not old, please, not old. Older is acceptable. If that is the case, you may well develop some skills and attitudes that will best prepare you for that part of your life. I did a survey recently about the people who come to Hope Christian Centre from our prayer directory. And the breakup is a bit like this. About 25% who come are children, about 25% are older people, and the rest are in the middle, the other 50%. So you see, we are very blessed to have a church with such good age spread. Recently, some of us went to a Golden Ambassadors retreat at Camp Clayton in Alberston. By the way, that's another good word for older people, Golden Ambassadors. We went there and the organisation who was speaking was called CMA. And they refer to the latter stage of life as the fourth quarter. The aim is, and I quote, to encourage and equip Christians to find and follow God's call in the fourth quarter of their lives. If we are aware of football matches, we know that they are divided up into four quarters. Each one is important, but only the fourth quarter is the final quarter. So it is with life. Yes, the fourth quarter is important and final can be very fruitful and productive. I look at YouTube like lots of other people, probably a lot of older people too, but I was listening to Hymns of the Faith some time ago, and the comments and posts and the chats that are put on there are really quite enlightening. Unknown to me, a lady by the name of Gloria, I don't know where she came from, somewhere across the world, she put this chat on the website, and she said, I'm 82 years of age. I asked Jesus into my life age 5, and I never tire of the old hymns. What a great summary for a lady who's lived a long life. And then I thought, this mirrored pretty much the summary of my life. So I posted on there also, me too. I'm 83. I love the old hymns, and I came to faith as a young child of about 7. It's really great to see the positive comments from people all over the world. Right from that early age, I've never doubted being a member of God's family. Even though my faith has began in a very simplistic way, based on John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, as received Jesus, he gave authority to become a child of God. So even though life's road has had its ups and downs, I have had no reason to ever doubt that I'm a child of God. I cannot claim to be perfect, but God is gracious. God is loving, God is willing to forgive and restore, and his presence such a tremendous value as we cope with life's uncertainties. I am blessed because of God's presence. I've been motivated by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the scriptures for all of the ups and downs of life's journey. I have Christian supportive friends who have lived as examples. And what's more, I'm a man with a future. Yes, I'm looking forward to the time for what Jesus went to prepare for me, as we read in John chapter 14. I'm a person with a future. I claim to be a positive person and regard the verse in Philippians as a reason for that. Do not be over-anxious, but in everything give thanks. An attitude of thankfulness is a very positive focus these days. I'm what you call a half-glass full type of person. I'm optimistic because I know my future is assured. I'm always impressed by Job, the writer and the character of in the Old Testament. Job's statement, early in the list of tragedies that befell him, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was a very rich man, rich in resources, a big family, well known, great reputation, but God allowed Satan to take away all of those things for him. And Satan's hope was that he would deny his faith in God. That didn't happen. And Job found that all of those things was restored to him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At the time 9 years ago when our eldest son passed away, aged 49, Louise and I placed that verse in the death notice in the local paper. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We recognise God's sovereignty and that some of the decisions of life are not made by us. We recognised that God was in control. We also adopted the attitude of being thankful for the 49 years we had Jeremy, rather than adopting a why me and throwing our hands in the air. God is sovereign. During our lives, I would be surprised if all of you out there have not been influenced by an older person. Just think for a moment. These days, a buzzword highlights the value of mentors. And I'm quite sure if you think about it, lots of people have been our mentors during the period that we're referring to. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see a catalogue of Bible heroes. There's Abraham and there's Sarah and there's Noah, all of those people that you could read there in Hebrews chapter 11. But right at the end of those list of names is a verse which I found tremendously inspiring. And it said this: they all lived a life of faith until they died. All of these heroes of the faith that are recorded there, they lived a life of faith until they died. Our good friend Dennis Humphrey, who passed away just last year, used the term, we should keep on keeping on. And all of these people, they displayed some stickability, their perseverance, and the life that they lived and the things that they achieved are noted for us in the scriptures. I've been blessed by older, mature examples of faith and service, of people with faith and service in my life. You'll notice that service and faith is closely linked together. All of those people, think of Abraham, he went to another country. Think of Noah, he built the ark. Faith and service are very closely linked together. And as you think of older, mature examples of faith and service, you'll find that that is the situation. I have two 90-year-old friends. Yes, that's right, people older than I am. 90 years old. My near neighbour, Peter, he came to live in Tasmania from Sydney 30 years ago when he retired as an Anglican minister. For the last 30 years, he's been so-called retired, but a volunteer in the local church. He's still involved in a home group. He still has people coming to his house for prayer and counselling. He's still the chaplain of the golf course that I play at. And he has a wide circle of friends. It will be said of him when he dies that he lived by faith until he died. My other friend is Ron, who lives in Queensland. He's 90 also. I met him 15 years ago when we were both having minor surgery in hospital. And he lives in Queensland now. And each week he sends out a commentary, a Bible study, calls Word for the Week, and it encourages people in their Christian faith. He has his ups and downs with sickness, but whenever he can, he sends out Word for the Week, and it goes through hundreds, maybe thousands of to hundreds or thousands of people throughout the world. So even 90-year-olds are very productive. Let me read some verses which have encouraged me, and they'll maybe come up on the screen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I always think, when I think of this verse, I think of someone who's enthusiastic, who's showing their commitment to knowing Jesus Christ and living the Christian faith and serving him, giving thanks to God through him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is a favourite verse of mine. "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It's not about me. No, it's not about me. Whatever we do, it's that we may glorify our Father in heaven. We are to be the lights of the world. We are to be witnesses to Jesus Christ and our Christian faith. And so whatever we do should focus on bringing glorification to our Father in heaven. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What an epitaph that is. Jesus told a parable, as he often did, about a man who had lots of money, lots of talents, and he divided it amongst his servants and asked them to multiply it. Some did a good job, others didn't. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." See, the service that the servants did was noted, and the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That would not be a bad epitaph to have on your tombstone. As you look through graveyards, you'll see interesting things put there, but maybe this is one for you to think about. Aspire to. In 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 7, Paul had this to say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." How about that? Not a bad epitaph either. Maybe not all of it. May not be room for all of it. Just a couple of little excerpts from there. Paul's life was coming to an end, but he was able to declare, and I'm sure we agree and others agree that that is very factual. One of the subtitles of this talk that was given to me by the teaching team was, "How can older believers bless a fellowship like ours?" Now, I'm an observant sort of fellow, and I've learnt a few things over the years, and I would like to share some of those with you. And you'll note that they all start, they're prefaced by the word, little word, be. Be. We older people can be busy beers. Be encouragers. Nothing motivates a young person more than being encouraged. A pat on the back, a kindly word, something that encourages a young person is vital. We can be friendly. Friendship is very vital in any group of people. You have visitors come to the church. To make them feel welcome is very important. We, I guess, like most churches, are described on occasions as very friendly, but on other occasions we may be described as not so friendly. Friendship is very important, and we should be friendly. We should be generous. Generosity is often related to financial matters, but it's much broader than that. We can be generous with our time, our resources, our advice. Generosity is a very important role that can encourage those who are younger. When we built this property here, renovated this property and moved from Murray Street, I was the church treasurer. And I knew where the funds came from. And there were lots of older people who made funds available, either by gifts or low interest loans or no interest loans. So much so that we did not need to go out to the public institutions to borrow money. There was a target set and the funds were repaid in 10 to 12 years, meaning that about 40% of the income that comes to our church now goes to missions, either overseas or locally. So generosity is a valuable function. We should be, there it is again, be involved. Nothing shows commitment more than your involvement. We should be present. Just make sure you come to the church services. I always think that a working bee is one of the best measurements of a person's commitment when they come and prepare to get their hands dirty. Be present, be there, be available, be tolerant, be perceptive, be observant, be appreciative. All of those things are fairly simplistic but yet valuable attitudes to adopt. I always think that it's much better to tell someone now you appreciate them than wait and try and say it at their funeral. Too late then. Too late then. We can be hospitable. What a great blessing hospitality has been in my life and then in the life of my family. Both Louise and I were raised in families that where hospitality was practiced. And we have had great pleasure in being hospitable to so many other people. When 20 or 30 or 40 people, young people, are crowded in your house on a Saturday night, you get a bit of an idea of how valuable that is. We should be examples. The scriptures remind us of that. We should be witnesses of the faith. All of these things are important components of the Christian race as we display the depth of our faith. We should be prayers too. And I'll bring that verse up a little bit later on. Many years ago, Dr. Russell Bushby was one of the leaders of an organisation called CBMA. And I joined CBMA about 50 years ago, and he said to me one day, "Barry, you've got some leadership potential." He didn't live to see the day that I became Tasmanian State Chairman of CBMA and served on the board for many years. Encouragement is an important role. We are to be, as I say, be there. Do not forsake meeting together as some do. Be tolerant. We won't always agree with which is done, but we have a responsibility to be tolerant. Be willing. Be willing. Do things that need to be done. I've always often heard this statement, and I've quoted it myself, the world is full of willing people. Those willing to work and those willing to let them. Very important component of life. And so there are lots of things that we can do in the Christian life. When I was asked to provide this message today, I decided that I would close with 3 points. These 3 points, and I call them Barryisms. They're not connected to any particular verse, but they're based on Christian principles. And I should say that most of what I've said is not necessarily based on a particular verse and tagged with a particular verse, but is based on the Christian principles. We didn't get to read, as had been planned, the verses in Hebrews, but you will look them up yourself. The heroes of faith are quite well-known verses. But my 3 Barryisms are these. Learn from life experiences, whether it's your own or whether it's someone else. Learn from life experiences. The longer we live, the longer we have to adjust our thinking and our behaviour. Secondly, love each unique individual. Love each unique individual that comes across your path. And there are lots of them. The word unique is sometimes a kind way of describing people that we find it difficult to get on with. But we are to love each individual. And the third one, oh, look, Barry, you are clever. It's another L. Look for opportunities to serve. There's no doubt that there are plenty of opportunity for us to be of service in our life of faith. I was raised in a small church in the country, and my uncle was made it obvious to me that service was an expectation. And very early in our life, we learned to be of service in the small country church. He said to me, you would be okay at doing RI in the schools. Come with me. And for several years, I took religious instruction in schools. Even when we moved to Devonport, I had the Baptist minister and the Anglican minister asking me to fill in for them when they weren't available. So it was important that service was encouraged. And that's really my summary today. Look for service opportunities. Look for opportunities to serve. There'll be plenty. When I retired at an earlier age than some expected, I asked the Lord to give me opportunities to be of service. I walked around the block nearby me, and there was an elderly couple cutting down a tree. I offered to help, and the lady was most grateful because she said, oh, my husband has a heart condition. But we need help. She called me angelic. She called me an angel. Angelic is not a word that's often used to describe me, but she called me an angel. So there's plenty of opportunities to serve. So let's keep that in mind. So that's it at the moment. But can I just close with the doxology from Jude? I woke up this morning singing this, and it's too good not to share with you. Jude verses 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God and Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you and good morning.